Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, grab it, stand to your feet with me. We're going to get right into the Word of God. You can turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8. If you do not have your Bible or you do not have the Bible on your device, you can, or maybe you want to be a good Christian, you left your device in the car and then you realize I don't have my Bible. We have it on the screens for you. We're going to read what Jesus said to a group of people when talking about freedom in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. This is our text for our series, Free Indeed. It says in verse 31, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They got upset. They answered him and said, 'Hey, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" We're talking this morning about being free indeed. Pray with me, and then you can be seated. Father, we come before you humbly today, so thankful that we get to look to your word and get to be in your house. I pray that you would transform us by the renewing of our minds today, that as we look to your word, that we would find the freedom that I know you purchased and have atoned that we could have and walk in. And so, Lord, I pray for every single person today, whether they're in the building or listening at a later time, I pray that freedom would take place by the power of the Holy Spirit right now, and that you would do what we cannot do in and of ourselves. I surrender myself to you as a vessel today. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Before we begin, I just want to say thank you so much to every single person that gave last week in our first fruits offering. And it was such an amazing, an outrageous number. I was baffled by the generosity of this house. And so thank you to each and every one of you for the way that you gave. And I want you to know that's going to continue to improve this facility and make way for our youth and children to have space in the back. And we're going to be building that out. And we have more vision that's going to be coming for that, of how that's going to look and how that's going to work. But I also just want to say the last 2 weeks, Tanner and Jody have been having youth and they've been pouring into our young people. I want to thank you guys. And it's exciting to see what God is doing. And I believe in that generation. And I believe in Tanner and Jody and God's call on their life. And so I am so excited to see everything that's going with Wednesday night services back together, the fellowship that takes place. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. I love you so much. And I look forward. This morning, I was driving in and I really thought, I am so thankful that I get to be at the Well Fort Payne this morning. There's truly no place that I would rather be. I've heard, you know, people say before that, you know, that as a pastor, you get the opportunity to love on people for a season and for a time, and you don't want to waste that opportunity that you get. And I want you to know that I look forward this morning to being here with you guys, and I hope you look forward to being here. I hope that when you, I know that life happens. I know that things come your way. I know that you get sick or you know, a family emergency or this happens. You have to go on a trip, but I want this to be the type of place and the type of house that if you're not here, you miss being here. That it's not an obligation to be here. It's a blessing to get to be here. And I want you to know that's my heart. I was just so overwhelmed with gratitude as we drove in today, knowing that I got to be here with you in the presence of God. And there's no place that I would rather be. I'd rather be here than the best bed in Fort Payne Hospital. I mean, this is the best place. That, I'm just kidding. I'd rather be here than anywhere. I'm so thankful for it. But last week, we started a series entitled Free Indeed. And the reason that I feel the Lord has led me to this passage and led me to this topic is because I feel so strongly in my spirit that God is saying to us right now, I want you to be free indeed. He wants his people to be free. He doesn't want his people to be bound. He doesn't want his people to be held back. He wants his people to be liberated and to be free. In fact, that's the whole gospel message. is that he sent his son to die on a cross so that you and I could be free from sin and we could be reconciled to the Father and we could spend eternity with him. So he didn't send his son so that you could stay bound. He didn't send his son so that you could just be a good person. He didn't send his son just so that you could have blessings and be, you know, be a better person. He gave his son so that you could be free. Free in what? Free in everything. Free in the way that you think, free in the way that you live, free in the way that you communicate, free in the way that you work, free in the way that you worship, free in the way that you go about your life. He wants you to be free in everything. And I fear that we compartmentalize freedom and, well, I'm free when I'm at church, but I'm not totally free when I'm at work. And I feel free when I'm with this person, but I feel insecure when I'm with this person. No, he wants you to be free completely, free indeed, in reality, whole truth, freedom. Is what he wants for your life. Because the work of the cross wasn't a partial work. He didn't say, it's almost done. He said, it's finished. It's accomplished. It's done. He took care of every sin that you've ever committed, every wrong thought that you've ever had. It was a complete and a total work, not a partial work. It was complete. And what he did is, when he died on the cross, he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And he sat down at the right hand of God. Now, something you have to understand about the Jewish culture is they didn't sit down until they were done with something. That symbolized it's done. It's complete. So when he ascended back to the Father, it says he sat at the right hand. Why? Because he wanted us to know it's done. I took care of it. There is nothing that is not under my feet. There is nothing that you cannot have dominion over. There is nothing that is stronger than I am inside of you. You are free indeed. He died to offer you true freedom. Not just saying you're free. I think there's a lot of people, I talked about this last week. There's a lot of people, yeah, I'm free. Not just saying you're free, living free. Not just hoping one, and I am so tired of this mentality that happens in Christians, is one day we'll all be free. No, you can be free now. You don't have to wait until heaven to be free. One day, all the sin's going to go away. No, you can be free from sin now. You can be free from sin today. He didn't die so that you could live in sin and then one day later experience total freedom. He died so that you could be free now in this body having life. I don't subscribe to the mentality that if we just hang on long enough and we just struggle through life long enough, one day we'll get to heaven and everything will be perfect. In my Bible, Jesus said this, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came. In fact, he's about to give us the entire reason for leaving perfection, for imperfection, to restore us back to the place of perfection. He said, this is why I came. I came that you could have life. And life more abundantly. If you look up that word life in the Greek, it's the word zoe. And it means life both physically and spiritually. He's not just waiting to get you to heaven when your spirit, when you're a new person, a new creation up there. He wants you to have life and life more abundantly now. Who wants an abundant life? Come on, show of hands. I want an abundant life. You know why? Because this is that word, what that word abundant means. Exceeding the expected limit. That's the kind of life that God wants you to have, where it's going beyond what you even expect, what you even think, what you can even dream to be possible. In fact, Jesus told one of his disciples, there's many things I have to tell you, but guess what? You can't even bear it yet. Why? Because it's so big. It's so great. That's why I love Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. But we have a hard time wrapping our minds around what total freedom would look like. We have a hard time really, really getting what that could actually feel like, what that would be like. We have grown so accustomed to bearing the weight of sin or of shame or of guilt or of depression or of anxiety or of worry or of all the pressures of the world or whatever it is, whatever else has a hold on you, or really rather what you have a hold of. Because he's already purchased total freedom. And so anything that is attached to you, it's because you're unwilling to let go of it. So we can't even wrap our minds around what total freedom would look like because we can't imagine life without those things. You think that the loss that you endured years ago and the pain that is present will always hinder you and hold you back from experiencing true happiness. You think that the way people treat you will always make you think down upon yourself and always not measure up to what other people say. You always think that the vices and the addictions and the problems that you've tried to shake on your own for so long will always have a place in your life. And we grow to a place where we begin to accept the things that are actually restricting us. Yeah. And we can't, when someone says you can be free indeed, we're like, what does that even look like? It looks like being free indeed. But it's such a foreign concept to us that we don't know that it's actually attainable. So what would life look like? Or actually, this is probably a better way to phrase that. Who would you become if you were free indeed? Stop looking at what life would look like. Start looking at this. What kind of a father would you be if you were free indeed? What kind of a mother would you be? What kind of a friend would you be? What kind of a coworker would you be? What kind of a neighbor would you be? What kind of a stranger would you be, somebody you met on the street, if you were actually free indeed? And I want you to begin to change your perspective on something. And that is this. You aren't just free from something, you're free for something. Yeah. So often we just think about being free from the past. He didn't just free you from your past, he freed you into your future. He didn't just free you from the guilt and the problems that you were once experiencing, he freed you to walk in life and life more abundantly. Yeah. He didn't just set you free from the past, but he released you into the future. I want you to know this, there's purpose in your freedom. There is destiny in your liberty. You were not liberated just to be a trophy on the wall. Yeah. You were liberated and you were separated from your mess so that you could be used by God to make a difference in this world. And as I was thinking about this and I was studying this out this week and just as God was speaking to me about being freed, not just from something, but for something, somebody came to my mind, and it's a character in history that I'm sure you've learned about, you've heard about, and we have a picture of her here that I'd like to show. This woman, I'm sure you know who she is. You may not know just by seeing her picture, but you will for surely know her name. Her name was Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was born in 1822 to parents who were both slaves. And she spent most of her life, in fact, 29 years of her life, she spent enslaved to another human being. But at 29 years old, she'd heard about something called the Underground Railroad. And she used the Underground Railroad to get to a place of freedom up in Maryland. But here's the deal about Harriet Tubman, is she was now free from slavery, but that wasn't enough. Because she realized, I haven't just been set free from slavery, I've been set free for something. There's a destiny, there's a call, and there's a purpose inside of my life, and I cannot sit here free while other people remain enslaved. And for 11 years, she would journey back into the Deep South, and she would rescue her mother, her father, her brothers and sisters and family and friends. Over the course of 11 years, she rescued 70 people out of slavery. 70 people found the same freedom that she had found and that she now enjoyed. Why? Because she chose to use her freedom as a means to free other people. She wasn't just set free for freedom. She was set, or not just from slavery, she was set free for freedom. She risked her life again and again. Why? Because she knew if this is how good freedom feels, I want other people to experience it, the people that I love. So if Jesus Christ has set you free, you cannot become complacent and content with the fact that, well, I'm free. If you really find freedom, you want other people to find that freedom. That's why I'm so passionate about this, is I know what it's like to be bound, and I know what it's like to be free. And I don't ever want to go back to what it was like to be bound. And I don't want anyone to leave here today sitting in this seat thinking, I'll always have to live this way. I want you to know you can be totally free. Harriet Tubman was quoted to have said this, I would give every last drop of blood in my veins just to see them free. That's how she felt. And guess what? You're never more like Jesus than in that moment. Because he said, no greater love has any man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. That's exactly what he did. But sometimes, I think we don't want to be free because freedom comes with responsibility. And so we'd rather stay bound, because when we're bound, we're not responsible for what we're responsible for when we're free. What do I mean by that? Once you're free, you have a responsibility to lead others to freedom as well. Do not become complacent or apathetic in your own freedom. In Psalm chapter 51, it's one of the most beautiful passages of scripture of all time. David, who is a man after God's own heart, had committed adultery with a woman by the name of Bathsheba. He'd gotten her husband killed to try to cover up the fact that he had slept with her and so that he could marry her. And now he's pouring his heart out to the Lord to try to make things right. And in Psalm chapter 51, verse 10, he says, "Create in me, O God, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me." And then he says something interesting in verse 13. I believe it's 13. He says, "Then," meaning after I'm free from my sin, after I'm free from my guilt, after I've been set free from the consequences that I've placed on myself by my own foolish and selfish actions, then, he says, "I will teach transgressors your way." Now, the enemy would love for you to think more than anything that because you failed, you can never help anybody else. But here's a man who has committed one of the most heinous crimes that you could ever possibly commit by having somebody else murdered to cover up something that he already did wrong. And he's saying, "I believe that you can create in me a clean heart. You can renew a right spirit within me. In other words, you can set me free. But then once I'm free, I'm going to help others get free as well." And we think that because we've messed up, that we're not eligible to help other people get free. Let me tell you this. Once you encounter the freedom of Jesus, you'll realize it wasn't you that got you free. It was the Son that got you free. And if he helped you, then he can help them as well. And so I want you to realize that you have a responsibility. I hope that by the end of this month, there is total freedom. And I think we still think, "Well, I'll always not have total freedom." Listen, then we don't believe the word of God. He who the Son sets free is free in reality. Okay? So Paul, in his letter to Galatians, you go read this letter. It's a beautiful book of the Bible. He talked continually about freedom in the book of Galatians over and over again about the freedom we've received through Christ Jesus. And I want you to realize this. This is the main point that I believe Paul is trying to communicate to the Galatians. And I want you to understand this today because we have a problem. We have a block in our mind that we think that there's something we have to do in order to be free. But freedom isn't found in your ability to do the right thing. Hear me out on this. Freedom, the freedom that God gives, is what empowers you to do the right thing. Sometimes we think that we have to earn our freedom, right? If I'm just good for long enough, if I can just go 2 weeks without looking at that website, if I can go a day without saying these words, if I can go this long without feeling that insecurity, then I'll truly have attained freedom. No, that's not how it works. He provides the freedom and it enables you to walk out the freedom that you've been longing for, hoping for, and really deep down inside, you want more than anything. We all want to be free. So his freedom is what empowers you to do the right thing. It's not you doing the right thing that earned your freedom, because none of us can earn our freedom. Freedom comes by the grace of God. In fact, the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 says, "Everybody sinned and falls short of the glory of God." But verse 24 says, "We're freely justified by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." What is grace? It's unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. There's nothing that you can do to earn the grace of God. It's a gift that he gave. And as we receive that, it provides for us the freedom necessary to live a life that is free indeed. But we tend to think that freedom's earned. I'll work hard enough. I'll try hard enough, and then I'll be free. Listen what Paul said to the church of Galatia in chapter 3, verse 3, that he wrote to them. He's trying to cure them of this poor mentality. He said, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, that you're now going to be perfected by the flesh? Do you really think that in your flesh you can become perfect? You can become totally free? Are you so foolish and so warped in your thinking to subscribe to the mentality that the freedom that Christ has offered to you, he started it, but you're going to finish it out in your own flesh and in your own doing? That's not how it works. Do you really think that in yourself, through your own merit, you can attain the position of freedom that Christ already paid for?" It's like if somebody came in and was like, "Hey, I paid for..." The other day, Shane and I were out to lunch, and we were having a good burger. It was good, wasn't it, Shane? I really enjoyed it. It was delicious. The fries were good, too. They were hand-cut, like, fries. Like, they were real fries. They weren't like somebody got out, you know, opened up the bottom drawer of the freezer, and there were ice crystals all over them. They dropped them. Like, these were, like, real fries, okay? They were good. And someone that we knew from the Well Scottsboro was in the same establishment eating, and they paid for our lunch, and it was such a blessing. It was a beautiful thing to do. But how foolish would I be if I was like, "No, I want to pay the bill." And they're like, "Well, it's already paid." And I was like, "Well, I want to pay it anyways." And I was trying to pay for my meal because I was unwilling to accept what somebody else had already paid for me. And that's what we do all the time in our life, is Jesus has already given us the ability and access to freedom, and we're trying to work it out in our own flesh and prove to him, I can be free on my own. And the reality is, we really can't. Because I am free. Here's, if you go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, you don't have to do that. But if you were to go there, you would find that Paul said this: I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm still alive. Yet, I'm not living, Christ is living in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So here's what I want you to get today. If you want to truly be free, the first step is dying to yourself. Because as long as you are still alive, and I'm not talking about breathing, I'm not talking about having a heart rate, I'm talking about as long as your flesh is still in control and your flesh is still calling the shots and your flesh is still the driving force of your life, you can never truly be free. Because the flesh and the spirit are in animosity with one another. To be carnally minded is to be in enmity with God. It's a place of death. And so if you want to truly be free, you're going to have to be willing to die to yourself. That's why Jesus taught us this way. He said, if you desire to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you'll lose it for my sake, you'll find it. He's giving us the key and access to what it means to be free. True freedom comes when you let go of your own life and you turn it over completely to God. You can't have freedom till you do that. Do you know why it feels like you're not completely free? Because there are still parts of your life that you're holding on to. And anything that you're holding on to, that you are saying, God, I'm not giving this over to you, you're not totally free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So when you allow him to have access to places of your heart, only then can you be free in that manner. Only then can you be truly free. His perfect plan is for you and I to have total and complete freedom. But just because it's his plan, it doesn't automatically make you free. Right. Remember what Jesus said in the book of John? He said to those that they believed in him, he said, if, which is a conditional statement, if you abide in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said it all started with the conditional statement of if. You're not automatically free. Just listen, he would that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. But that doesn't mean that everybody's going to make that choice in their life. You have to decide, I want to be free, and realize I can only be free in him. That's why Paul would continue in the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 13th verse, he would say this: for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. I want to point out to you this morning, and I hope that you remember this as long as you live, that we were called to liberty. Okay? That word called means invited. So through the gift of Jesus Christ and through the gospel message, we have been invited into freedom. You have an open invitation. The door is always open to come to freedom. But an invitation doesn't guarantee an arrival. You ever invited somebody and they didn't show up? Maybe you were 10 and you invited a bunch of people to a birthday party and nobody came. You can be free of that today. It's okay. You can be healed today from the scar and the emotional damage that comes with that. And I mean that for real. I say that as tongue in cheek, but I mean that for real. But I'll tell you this, there's been a lot of places that I got invited that I didn't go. Right? You ever done that? Come on, I'm not the only person in here that got invited to something and didn't go because I'm like, no, that ain't happening, right? Like, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. And I believe this to be true concerning this statement. You're as free as you want to be. Because he's already opened his arms and said, you're called to freedom. You're called to liberty. You've been invited. You've been welcomed. In fact, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil that separated the common person from the presence of God was torn from the top to the very bottom. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we are able to approach his throne boldly so that we can find help in times of trouble. We've been given access to liberty, to freedom. So that's why I can say, and I know for a fact, you're as free as you want to be. If you disagree with that statement, then you obviously deny the power of God. You're saying, no, I'm not as free as I want to be, because what you're saying is there's something that God can't handle, and there's something that God can't set me free from. You're denying his power. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews as well that if we're going to come to God, we first must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I think a lot of people are struggling in this area of freedom is because they aren't accessing the faith that God has given them to use to believe, I can actually be free. Yeah. I can be totally free. Our problem is this. In order to truly be free from sin or shame, we have to become slaves of righteousness, and we don't want to do that. In order to be free, you must become a slave. Yeah. And we don't really want to do that. We want our version of freedom instead of his version of freedom. I want to show you that in Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 19. Paul writes in one of the greatest literary works ever, even people that are not Christians will admit that the book of Romans, especially chapter 6, 7, and 8, are one of the greatest writings of all time. He says this, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." In order to be free, you must be willing to be a slave. Meaning, you must be willing to present your life to God as an offering that he will do with whatever he wants to do, knowing that in him and only him can you find true and total freedom. Let me ask you this. What got you into the bondage that you're experiencing? What got you into the addiction? What got you into the sin? What got you into the shame? The answer is obvious. You did. The Bible says we're restricted. That means we're not free. Why? By our own affections. It was your own affections that led you into bondage. So how are your own affections going to lead you out of bondage? The solution cannot be the same as the cause. If you want a solution, it's going to have to be different. You cannot continue to live the way that you've been living and expect that you're going to stumble into freedom. Freedom can only come through Jesus Christ. So follow him. Follow him into freedom because he's invited you into freedom. And don't be satisfied with staying in what you've grown accustomed to. You might have become comfortable with your bondage. That's a scary place to be. I would encourage you today to renounce it, to drop it, and to let go of it, and be willing to let go of the things that are destroying you. Why? Because you weren't just set free from something. You were set free for something. I want to go back to Galatians 5:13. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but what? Through love, serve one another." What's Paul saying? He's saying if you've been set free, then use it as an opportunity to serve other people. Amen. Help other people get free. Help other people find joy. Help other people find God. Help other people live a blessed life and a fulfilled life. It's back to where we started. You aren't just set free from something. You're set free for something. God wants you to help other people. What do I mean by that? You're free so that you can now love other people. You're free so that now you can give. You're free so that you can invest in other people. You're free so that you can serve. You're free so that you can help other people become free. Don't just become content with the fact, well, I'm free and that's enough for me. No, help other people become free. Don't become selfish and use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Peter would write it this way and say, don't let your liberty become a cloak for your flesh. Don't let it try to cover up things in your life. But if you've been set free, live like you're free. I love what the writer of Proverbs says. in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. These are verses, and I would encourage every single person, have verses in the Bible that are life verses, that you fix your eyes on, you set your heart on, you memorize them, you know them, and you declare, this is what I want my life to be like because I'm building it upon the Word of God. Because His Word is meant to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But if we're not using, if you were walking down a dark alley and you had a flashlight but you didn't turn it on, it's not going to do you any good. Use the Word of God. Put it into practice, okay? That's why Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, you'll be my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. We talked about this last week. One of the keys to freedom is the Word of God. And I hope you've been reading it every single day. I hope you've been investing in it. And this is something I said last week, and I want to say it again. I don't often repeat myself. At least I don't think I do. You guys might think I do. I don't feel that I do. But I want to repeat this. Reading the Word of God every day is not legalism. It's not religion. Reading the Word of God every day is about building relationship with Jesus, who He told us is the Word, and it's about receiving the information and revelation necessary to walk our life out as free believers, as children of God. Amen? Proverbs chapter 24, verse 11 and 12. These are life verses for me. Solomon writes and says, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. I want to be that type of person. That is, somebody is they're being drawn away, they're being tempted, they're being enticed, they're being misled, they're stumbling towards the slaughter. I want to be the person that would reach out and would with a hand of love and not condemnation, would be there to say, you don't have to go this way. You can be free. Because what happens is when we're deceived and we're tempted and we're drawn away, we don't realize that the end thereof is death. I want to be not a stumbling block. I want to be a roadblock for people that would stand. Just like if the bridge was out down the road, you'd want somebody to stand in the road. You'd want the emergency vehicles out there with their lights on so that you didn't drive off the end of the bridge. Let's be that for people. Yeah. Let's deliver people who are being drawn away. Let's stand in the way and say, no, you don't have to go this way. You don't have to be slaughtered. Your life doesn't have to end. You don't have to be bound to this anymore. You can be set free. But listen, if you haven't experienced that kind of freedom, you're not going to be able to help anybody else get that kind of freedom. That's why Jesus said, when you see somebody that they've got a log in their eye, deal with a speck in your own eye first. Make sure that you're free. And then you can help them get delivered from their own problems. So once you're free, like Harriet Tubman, you have a responsibility to share in that freedom with others. Another, one of the reasons that they gave Harriet Tubman the nickname Moses is because, think about this, Moses was the only free Israelite for about 40 years. He was living with his father-in-law Jethro, and he was minding the sheep on the backside of the desert. He could have been content because he was free. Yeah. He wasn't bound. He wasn't making bricks every day. He wasn't hauling hay. He wasn't, you know, being beaten every day. He could have said, you know what? Life's pretty good. I've made it out. The only free Israelite in the entire world. But God showed up to him and he said, I'm sending you back because there are others. I've heard their cry and I want you to deliver them out. He went back into bondage. Not that he became bound again himself, because listen, once you're free, brother, you're free. Don't think this way that once I'm free, and I'm not saying that you couldn't attach yourself again to something, but what I'm saying is don't be so concerned with, well, if I have been set free from this or that, if I go near it again, it's going to, listen, the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God is so much stronger than that. Don't think that it has the ability to come back on you that easy. You realize you can stay in freedom. You contend for your freedom, but you stay in freedom. Moses went back to Egypt and he delivered them out, just like Harriet Tubman did. Just like David said, then I'm going to teach transgressors your way. I believe that today somebody's having a revelation to realize, I'm getting free, but as I get free, my family's about to start getting free. My coworkers are about to start getting free. This community is about to start getting free, because if Jesus touches my life in such a way that he makes me free, and I know he can, and I know he will, then it's going to have to impact other people. I'm not just set free so that I can be free. I cannot look at a world that is going to hell and be content with the fact that I'm okay. Because then I'm not really free anyways. There's still something inside of me that doesn't have love for that person, compassion for that person, so therefore there's something still locked up inside of me. Once you're free, you have a responsibility to share that freedom with others. Why? Because God has a purpose on your life. I don't care if you're on the back row or the front row or anywhere in between, there's a purpose of God on your life. There's a plan. There's a destiny that he wants to fulfill. And that's why he set you free. He could have left you in your bondage, but he didn't. He could have left you to figure it out on your own, but he made a way. Why? Because there's something he wants to do through you. So don't let anything hold you back from fulfilling the plan that he has for your life and for pleasing the one who enlisted you in this to begin with. Can you stand to your feet with me today? Here's what I want to declare over you this morning. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're not just free from the past, but you're free to step into your future. Some people, I believe, have been standing on the brink of fulfilling their destiny. And they realize God's forgiven me of the past, but they're afraid that the future is going to be a repeat of the past. And so they haven't taken that next step necessary to follow God and what he wants them to do. And I tell you today, you're not just free from the past, you're free to step into the future. You're not just free from what you did wrong, but you are free to do what is right. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Can you bow your head with me and close your eyes? If you accept that and you receive that today, would you just lift your hands? I want to pray over you this morning. Father, I thank you for freedom. God, I am so overwhelmed with the knowledge and the revelation today that you did not go to the cross so that we could just live at just decent lives, but you came so that we could have life and we could have it more abundant. And I pray that you would release your people today to step into total freedom, complete freedom, the reality of freedom, not bound in any way to yesterday, not bound in fear of what might or might not, but I speak freedom because the Son has set us free. And Lord, I pray that we would release the things that are holding us back and we would grab hold of you, God, not trying to attain freedom or perfection in the flesh, but realizing that he who begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. And every single day, I declare that you will walk more and more free, more and more in liberation, more and more in the Spirit of God, not fulfilling the lust of your flesh, but fulfilling the perfect plan that he has laid out from you, that he has written in his book from before time began. And he allowed his Son to be slain on a cross so that you could have freedom and reconciliation with God. And I declare that we will walk in that freedom. And not only us, but Lord, I pray that we would bring other people into freedom. I pray that you would release us to begin to speak freedom into other people's lives, that people would see freedom on us and they would say, I want what that person has. And that we would not be selfish in our freedom, but we would release the same gift that you gave to us to other people and declare the truth of the gospel that it's not anything that I've done on my own. It's only by the work of the cross and the salvation that can only come through Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that I can have freedom. So I speak freedom over your people today in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you walk in freedom and lead other people to freedom as well in Jesus' name. Amen. Go with God. We love you. Be blessed. Have an awesome week.